Welcome to this episode of Midnight Triple Feature. You head over to the website, midnighttriplefeature.blogspot.com. Link up to Twitter and Facebook from there. Adam's here.
Hello.
I'm Mike, and we got a couple of movies lined up. What are we doing?
We're doing the two upcoming, or depending when you're listening to this, two recent releases from Artsploitation Films. First, we're going to discuss Der Samurai. We're also going to discuss House with 100 Eyes. If you're listening to this on YouTube, you're probably going to have to listen to this in two parts. But if you're listening to this through iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you download your podcast from, then you should be getting this as one single episode. But we are going to start with Der Samurai, which is the first release in a long slate of releases from Artsploitation, which we kind of discussed a few weeks back. We kind of ran down their entire itinerary of movies. But Der Samurai, it's due out June 9th. I'll give you a quick plot rundown. This is off of the little press release thing. So, this horror must-see is a surreal mix of dark comedy and eerie creep-out that recalls the films of David Lynch. A rural policeman begins to track down a mysterious dress-wearing, sword-wielding killer who is spending his nights lopping off the heads of the townspeople. The young man soon goes from the hunter to the hunted in this bizarre yet wildly entertaining cat-and-mouse game of violence. So originally, I wanted some background on the movie.
Yeah.
Because it's a very simple premise, right? The plot really is just a policeman chasing down this guy in a dress with a samurai sword who's sort of murdering everybody in his small German town. So I was like, well, there's only so much there we can really discuss without spoiling. So I went ahead and listened to the commentary for this, which gave me some really good insight. So I'm probably going to talk about it more from that end. So that we don't spoil too much, because I don't want to get into the ending too much and don't want to really talk about too much in regards to who dies and whatnot, because there are some, you know, big deaths and stuff that happen later on.
Yeah, there's some pretty cool deaths.
You know what I mean? There's some cool deaths, but as far as some of the characters themselves, even though you could kind of guess at watching, like, who's going to get it, it's still, there's certain characters that, you know, they die and they're sort of central to the story and to sort of Jacob's whole journey, I guess. But did you know this was originally pitched as a television series?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah, it was turned down. So I guess they went to, they were asked to go to basically pitch TV ideas, German television. And the director, writer had a light bulb, I guess, in his head. And he was like, he just had this vision of this guy in a dress running around with a samurai sword killing people. And that was the entire, that was the idea he had. Right? And I guess that was the pitch, basically.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is what, an hour and 40 minutes, right?
Oh, it's an hour and...
Maybe an hour and 30?
It's an hour and 18 minutes.
Okay.
So that was another thing. So they got funded two ways. One was from the crowdfunding, right? Which they got $40,000 or something in crowdfunding.
Yeah.
They were also funded initially by a German film backer, it's a German film board or something. But one of the stipulations, if you take funds from them, is that your film has to be 78 minutes or longer.
Yeah, so, most are like that.
Right, so what they did is, if you watch the movie, it actually has a really long credit sequence. And there's even a few at the, if you go all the way to the end, there's actually a pretty long period of black where it just sits, so that they can run out that 78 minutes. So the movie itself is actually probably more 74, 75 minutes. It's short.
Yeah, I mean, this movie is, it's really good.
Yeah, it is.
Take a story and they cram it into that little amount of time and it works.
Mm-hmm.
But imagine if they had somebody say, how Netflix is doing stuff now, where they could run the story of this guy and the samurai out over, 20 episodes or 24 episodes or something.
If they had been able to do it as a full series, you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it would have definitely changed the entire movie. You know, the way, because this is a very, it's succinct, it's short, but it's a metaphor about, some guy. A guy who is closeted homosexual, right?
Yeah.
And the samurai sort of represents that side of him, removing all of the things that are preventing him from being comfortable with who he is. That's basically what this movie is.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is, he has basically manifested in physical form that side of himself that can handle these problems that he can't take care of. You know, he wants to be like this macho policeman, but he's really not. You know, he's actually would rather dance with the transvestite than dance with the girl, sort of that type of thing.
Yep.
So it would definitely change that. Like, if you had a 12 or 15 episode arc, that would have to be, I mean, I don't even know how you would do it. I guess you would do it like, you would just slow it down, right?
You could put so much more of the story
into
episodes, you know, than.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you say that because this movie was a lot longer, like in script, because he says he cut out a lot, like exposition. He just cut it out, and he basically wanted to make it as lean as he could at this point and just make it so that rather than have people constantly telling you what's going on and giving you backstories and things like that, which were in the original script, he just kind of cut all that out. And he was like, I'm just going to give it to you visually, and rather than try to just explain all this and have people talking and doing this, we're just going to get right to it. Kind of get to the action faster, you know?
Yeah, which a lot of filmmakers, they have the idea of, I shot it, it's in the script, I have to use it.
Yeah, exactly.
And when you cut it up,
yeah, you still get it.
It's a lot better.
And this movie is, I mean, I don't think it's that subliminal. Like, as far, like, no, it's you know not. What I mean? Like,
you're going to get it.
Pretty obvious what they're trying to say. But, yeah, like, there was apparently opening scenes with Jacob that they cut out completely, like with the policeman. And there were also scenes, I think he said there were additional scenes with the samurai in the beginning, but they cut some of those. But he did say that, like, this was interesting, cause like the first time Jacob sees the samurai, like, his back is to him. So he's sitting in a chair and you see the hair and everything.
Yeah, he's brushing his hair.
Yeah, right? Yeah. But as a viewer, you automatically know that it's a man in drag. I mean, it was obvious to you, right? Immediately.
Yeah.
That's actually not.
You can kind of tell by the cover.
He said that's not what he wanted, though. Like, he actually wanted you as a viewer to think it was a woman. Like, he said that he regretted it. It was interesting to hear him talk about it. He said he kind of regretted that he didn't make it more ambiguous in the beginning, like whether or not you knew. Because you were supposed to kind of wonder in the beginning, is this a man? Is this a woman? You know, and from Jago's perspective, because he's supposed to be wondering, and it was pretty clear that it was a guy. They talked a lot about the colors in the movie, right? And I hadn't thought of it before, but I guess they said a lot of people came up to them and said that it reminded them of, like, Argento stuff, like Suspiria. A lot of reds and greens and stuff.
Yeah, I could see that.
And yeah.
Like, I didn't notice it when I was watching it.
Me neither, I noticed it was really colorful. It's a really colorful movie. And, I like that he says there's, you know, modern horror films, and this isn't really a horror film, but sorta is. They always go with, like, the desaturation.
Yeah, the darkness.
You know,
desaturation.
They pull the color out. Like, we're going to talk, the next movie we talk about went that route. It's very desaturated. Whereas this movie, they, like, amped up the colors. You know, it's like, it's really these really deep colors and reds and blues and greens. Which, I mean, I guess for me, I actually preferred it. It kind of gave it this surreal, Argento-esque look, even though it's not like a giallo, but.
Yeah, I mean, well, even like the wood shots.
Oh, God.
They were really good.
Yeah. With the blackness?
Yeah. Like, parts where, like, you could see the green of the trees.
Yeah.
But then it was just kind of dark.
Well, he talks about that, too. The only light they had was a flashlight.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, like, they actually shot that with just a flashlight.
That's pretty impressive.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really, he talks about how hard it was to shoot because they're running in pitch black, you know, like, in darkness with just a flashlight. And you have, you know, guys, Pitt is the name of the actor who played the samurai, just running into the woods. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he has no clue really what he's going. He's just running, trying to make his way through the woods at night, and all there is this flashlight behind him. And Jacob, the actor, he was like, they ended up having to put him on a treadmill and have shoot it in a warehouse. So what they did is they had him run on a treadmill in a warehouse, and then they took branches and, like, hit him in the face. Because they couldn't.
I didn't notice that either.
They couldn't get the shot. Yeah.
Man.
Isn't it? It's pretty cool, right? You wouldn't know.
I didn't, because I didn't catch any of that.
And they also talk about that they added a lot of grain to it. So, like, it has that film quality. It's shot on high definition video, but it looks very film-like quality. You know what I mean? It's got that film grain to it.
Yeah.
You could probably pass this off as if it was shot on film. It's got a really nice look to it.
Yeah, it looks really good.
Mm-hmm. I already said, so they cut out, like the exposition was cut out. Oh, the guy that played the samurai, he took classes in choreography for, like, took classes in, like, samurai choreography. so that he could, like, he only has a few moves, but like the train, when he jumps in front of the train.
Yeah.
You know, he does like that spin. That's a really cool scene. And then, like the scene where he's surrounded by everybody and he does the spin.
Yeah, I was just gonna mention that he does that spin.
It's amazing.
Yeah,
it's
got, that's
like,
really good.
And the camera's upside down.
Yeah.
And then they talk about like things you don't notice, like how they,
like his posture, like after he comes down, he lands like he was a samurai, like.
Yeah, it's like so good. Like, it's really good. The dude actually went and like took classes and learned how to do it. And he didn't even have to do that much, but he went and he did the work so he could actually pull it off and look legitimate, you know? And they also, like, if you watch that scene carefully, and I didn't notice it, it's so funny, but like they CGI'd in, like, there's a part where he swings a sword and someone's leg flies off. And if you look, you can see the leg like fly through the air.
I saw that.
Yeah, I didn't notice it the first time. I didn't notice it the second time. Yeah, it's a CGI leg.
So it goes
And then it was like a CGI head.
I thought, like, actually, when I first saw that, I thought just like somebody was off camera and just kind of chucked it.
Yeah, and that fire effect when the head is burning in the fire, that's all practical effects. They just layered. So they took like actor's head, put it in like a thing, and then they shot the fire around it. Then they like put in like hair, and then they put it all on top of each other. And so it looks like you watch it and you're like, oh, it's CGI, but it's actually all camera effect.
Hmm.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah.
That was a good scene too.
They said almost all the effects are practical in this thing. There's only a few.
Yeah, there CGI. Wasn't anything in here that I was like, wow, you know.
No, it's
CGI. Mm-hmm. I haven't, you know, seen that before, but no, yeah. Everything was really good.
So the casting, the guy that plays the samurai, I guess they already knew him. The director already knew the guy that played him. So when he had that sort of vision in his head of what this was going to be, it was always him. It was always, his name is Pitt. I think they said Pitt. He was always going to be that character. They just kind of envisioned him in that role. And the other guy, like the guy that plays Jacob, apparently he was only a student. So he wasn't even really a professional actor yet. I think he's pretty good in it. I think everybody's good in it.
Yeah. I don't think anybody really had a bad part.
No, I think everybody's pretty good. Yeah. The only, like a couple things, like the grandma thing, like his grandma or his mom. Right?
Yeah, I think it was his grandma.
I still don't get why.
She just wanted to play cards all the time.
Yeah, I don't get why he went after her. And they don't want to talk, they talk about it a little in the commentary, but they don't really explain it. They're like, yeah, a lot of people, cause I had said this to you before, was I was like, I don't get why they went after the grandma. And he said that people came up to him and were like, why the grandma? Well, like, why the old lady? Why would he go after her? You know, like, she wasn't one of the people that was making it more difficult necessarily for him to like come out and be like, yeah, I'm gay or whatever. You know?
But they never really say that.
Yeah.
So maybe she was.
Maybe she was. Yeah. That was the only part I was like, oh, like everybody else he went after, I was like, all right.
You know? Legitimate reasons. I mean, the grandma thing, either she didn't approve of it and they just don't mention it, or maybe he was just tired of taking care of her.
Yeah, it's probably more there, right?
Because, I'm guessing all of his frustration and anger is manifested
into
his
body. That's a good point. Yeah.
So it could have just been him being like, I'm done, grandma.
Yeah.
I don't want to play cards anymore.
I want out of this stupid little town.
Because he seems like he's very composed when they're playing cards.
Yeah.
But like she's asking him what to do next.
I know.
And he's like, draw a card.
Yeah,
like,
true.
So it could have just been that whole.
And they kind of play on that because the samurai is like, draw three or whatever. And he's like, and then she's like, now what? And he's like, draw three. And he's like, now what? Draw three. And it's like, she has like 15 cards.
Yeah. She can't even hold them anymore.
Yeah. So I guess maybe that it's like his inner reaction to her, like what he could never say to her, what, you know, like he's trying to be like, I don't fucking care.
Yeah.
You don't even know. So just draw cards. Yeah. Is there anything specifically you want? I don't want to talk too much about, because there's not a lot that happens. Like, I want people to go out and watch it.
Yeah, and this is something you got to dance around because there's a lot of stuff in there. You know, you start mentioning stuff. I don't want to spoil anything. So
the flamingo scene was funny.
Yep.
Remember when he makes him rip the head off the flamingo thing in the yard?
That shit was funny.
That was actually really good. Like I said, the scene where he does the spin is really good. The like showdown is good. The ending is like way out. I thought the movie was going one way.
Yeah, make you think
Right. I think it's going one way and then it doesn't go that way. Like the first time I watched it, I definitely was like, oh, I know exactly what's going to happen.
What was with the phone, when the chief calls him and says, I just got a report of a guy in a dress running around with a samurai sword. Is that you?
Yeah.
Like, and then he just hangs up on him.
Yeah. I think again, that was more like giving us an idea of how these people treat him. Because I remember, like, the asshole guy, too, he's like, oh, yeah, Jacob's never fired his pistol before. Like, people constantly making... Yeah. That's the funny thing about the movie is everybody else knows that he's gay. But he doesn't want to actually come out and be like, I am. Like, he's still is trying to act like he's not. You know what I mean? Like, he's got, like, that weird scene with the girl in the car and where he, like, imagines himself kissing her.
Yeah.
Right? But he doesn't.
But he doesn't.
But, like, in his head, he's, like, thinking, like, this is what I should do.
Then you get the scene of him and the samurai at the dance.
Yes.
And that really just blows it all open right there.
Oh, yeah. That's because, well, he, like, calls him out completely on it.
Yeah. And it's actually a really good scene because it's just them standing on a sidewalk. And the samurai is telling him this story of what he wants. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, he's like, F you. Like, that's not what I want. And then he gets all mad. That whole scene is really well acted and written.
So yeah, I don't want to get. I guess we can just say that that's that.
Yeah,
I'd rather people go and watch it. If what we've said has gotten you intrigued, it's really well shot. Looks great. It's got some good effects.
The score is awesome.
The score is great. Really good. That's a good thing to mention too. The score is really good. It's also got that really like. That song at the end, like, it just kind of comes out of nowhere. It's like this pop song.
Yeah.
But it, for whatever reason, worked really well at the end of the movie. Like,
because there really wasn't else in a movie.
No,
like that.
It was nothing else like that in the movie. And then all of a sudden that comes in the, like, the very end of the movie in the last scene. And for some reason it just worked really well. Can't explain why. But yeah, no, the score, that's a good thing to mention. It's really good. But, it's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah. So that's Der Samurai.
It's coming out on June 9th. I really recommend
it. You can pre-order it now.
I recommend it for sure. All right, you want to talk about the next movie?
Yeah.
So the next one that's coming out on June 16th is called House with 100 Eyes, which Film Radar called one of the greatest horror films of the century, you know, last 15 years century. Not. So this is the little synopsis I have. It says, American Psycho meets This Is Spinal Tap. In the gory mockumentary, a nice middle-class American couple spends their spare time making and selling snuff videos. When they plot their latest, featuring three kills in one night, everything goes terribly, bloodily wrong. The House with 100 Eyes is simultaneously shocking and satirical. So, House with 100 Eyes, it's, I want to say found footage, but it's not really it is a found footage, but it's documentary-style found footage. Like, it's found footage because
somebody found the footage.
Yeah, when it opens, you get that little thing, and it's like, this footage was sent to...
Multiple cassette tapes were sent to wherever.
Yeah, and the police didn't believe it or whatever, so we're putting it out there. This is what happened. This is somebody has edited this footage down so you can see what happened and make up your own mind. So it is a found footage, but it's not shot. It's not like shaky cam shit.
Yeah, not at all.
You know?
No. It's basically, camera on tripod, security cameras.
Yes.
Basically, like, if you were watching, like, one of those reality shows where they all live in a house together.
Yeah.
It's shot like that. The only time you get shaky cam or cam in hand is when they're in a car.
Yeah, which, that doesn't bother me so much, you know? I like that, so basically it's just this couple, it's a married couple, and they're married in real life, which probably helps a lot with the on-screen relationship. Because the fact that they're actually married probably helps with the way they interact on screen. But basically, it's man and woman. They're serial murderers. And they abduct people off the street. They make snuff films and they sell them. And it's funny because they talk about, like, their competitors. And it's, there's a lot of really dark humor in the movie right off the bat. And they talk about in screenings, people walk out of this movie in droves. Like, they know the scenes where it's gonna happen. But they talk about all these people that just walk out of the movie, they can't handle some of the stuff in the movie. Now for me, like, at least in the opening scenes, I'm getting the humor.
Yeah, me too.
You know, like when they're arguing, like when they're on the couch and it's like this weird, like, husband-wife sort of, like the things that,
let's talk about these two for a minute.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So you have the husband who's the main filmmaker.
Yeah.
He's the one that runs the camera.
Right.
He's kind of the brains behind everything. He is so hyped up, so energetic, and she is just so mellow and yeah. just does whatever he says. And she's got this creepy, silent tone about her.
She's like a, like, I think of her as like, she wants like to be like a wife. Betty Crocker housewife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stepford yeah. wife. Yeah. But yeah. So she's got that about her and he's just like fucking like testosterone built. You
In
know
your
what I mean?
Face.
Yeah. Like he's like pumped up. He wants to do this and he can barely contain his need to do this.
Yeah. Cause you have scenes where he is just like, we have to do this. We have to do this right now.
Yeah.
And he's freaking out. Yeah. And then the next scene is just her telling these kids to undress, and she's just standing there staring
I know,
at him,
yeah.
not saying a
Which,
word.
Which, let me say it, I would be like, fuck this, I'm not, this woman is like creepy as shit. Yeah. There's no way. I mean, I guess maybe if you were an addict and you needed $500, maybe. But this chick is like yeah. staring you down.
She's just standing there.
She's like, okay, now please undress. You're like,
hands to the side, just blank stare.
Yeah.
So they're like two, they're two completely opposite.
Yeah.
characters of each other.
But that
other.
Works, right?
It does.
Yeah, and that's what adds to, like, the humor of it, because he gets so frustrated, even, like, with her. You know, like, she'll be in, like, when she's in the bathroom getting ready, and he's yelling through the door, he's like, are you talking to the camera?
Yeah. Are you narrating?
Yeah, are you narrating?
He says that, like, 20 times.
Yeah, he keeps asking her all the time if she's narrating, and, like, she's constantly maintaining her composure, but, you know, in her head, she's like, yeah, fuck, shut up.
Yeah.
You know, like, shut up, I'm narrating this stupid film. So yeah, like their relationship, I think that's where like the comedy comes from in the beginning. The comedy definitely gets harder later. Like it comes as shit really starts to go bad. It's more shocking and less funny. I think there's still moments.
No, there's definitely moments.
You know, like even like when he's torturing the one girl in the chair, like it's, and this is a scene where people walk out. He said, this is one of the scenes. The other is where the masturbation scene. He said, like, that scene.
Yeah.
Like, that's the first moment where people walk out. And the second moment is when he's doing the first kill in the chair.
Yeah, cause he's watching himself
right.
torture somebody.
And he's sitting there beating
while masturbating.
To it. Yeah. And like
really
me,
weird.
I'm like kind of like laughing. I'm like, this is so fucked up, but it's kind of funny in like a really weird way. But I could see people watching this who don't watch a lot of like, maybe, weird, obscure stuff. Like, we've seen stuff that pushes the limits. So for us, it's not as big of a, it's uncomfortable to watch.
It's weird, but yeah, it didn't bother me.
No, I was just
like, it just goes with the way the film is. So.
And it fits his character, you know,
yeah.
because he, like I said, he's like so balled up with like his own fucking need to do this that like that's his only way of releasing this because he can't, at this point, he still can't find a victim. And he's so fucking worked up that if he doesn't do that, he's gotta
relieve himself of the stress.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like that's like him trying to relive it in a way.
Now the, you think all the street shots in the car, you think that's all guerrilla style?
They're real. They talk about it in the commentary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that creepy as shit?
Yeah. Cause I'm watching this and I'm like, this is like Psycho.
It's real, yeah.
You could have just been there, and he's just videotaping you from
yep.
his car.
You remember, like, when I talked about the remake of Maniac, they did that. Like, where there's scenes, like, of him, but that's all, like, he's watching, like, I think that was more staged, but I was talking about how, like, creepy it is to just watches the camera drive through the street, just watching people, cause,
yeah.
In this, they really did it. Like,
yeah.
They're driving around filming people on the street. And yeah, it's kind of unsettling because you could be like out walking around, your kid could be out there,
yeah.
and they could just be driving around filming them.
Yep.
It's
weird.
And they really did it. So like it almost adds like that layer of realism because you could be like, oh, it's just a movie, but yeah,
but it's so real.
Yeah, because they did it. So like anybody could just go out and just do that, just film you without your permission and take it home and who knows what they're going to do with that footage.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because that was, I don't know, yeah. So I talked about, yeah, so the masturbation scene. He did tell a funny story, apparently. The very first screening they ever did, they set up a projector, like, in the living room, and had, like, the cast bring over friends and stuff. So the guy that plays, he calls himself Clutch,
mm-hmm.
the male. He brought, like, his girlfriend or friend at the time, and they went and they sat down on the couch, and they're screening the movie for, like, the crew and stuff. And that scene came on of him masturbating in the chair, and the director or writer, Jim Roof, I think he directed and wrote it. He also starred in it. Same guy starred in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jim Roof says that the girl just like jumped up out of her seat and just bolted out of the house. Like, they're sitting there watching this, screening it. That scene comes where he starts masturbating and she just leaves. She doesn't even say anything, just gets up and runs. And she said that the actor that played Klutz, like, got up and went after her. Like, the guy's, like, explained, you know, like. And the other scene, yeah, was when he's torturing. I don't want to give away who, because I don't want to give away who dies and who lives.
Yeah, well, you get, I like the way they did this, because you get that main, it's hard to explain. In the movie you're watching, you get that main torture scene.
Yeah.
But you get other little torture scenes, like, on another film that's, he's holding the, like.
Yeah, you get lots of that, like, movie within movie type
stuff.
Like,
yeah. So I like the way they did that, because it did work.
Yeah, and I will say the gruesome, for sure. I mean, you know, they it's funny, they talk in the commentary about how they actually pulled back, and I agree, like, they talk about how people walked out during these scenes, like, the scene where they're torturing the one girl in the chair. Again, I don't want to give away the younger girl in the chair. And he force feeds her own stuff, her own innards, you know.
Yeah.
So, he talks about how people walked out, but, like, that wasn't even really that bad. You know, like, it is, but they said they cut shit out because it was so gruesome. And you could go watch fucking, like, Hostel. You could go watch, you know, like,
Cannibal Holocaust.
Right. But, like, movies that hit, like, that you went and watched in a Cineplex at, like, your local mall.
Yeah, true.
You know what I mean? And, like, I don't think people were walking out of, like, Saw movies are probably more graphic than this. But for some reason, like, this, they said just hit people. And they showed this at, it was, like, Scream Fest or something out in the West Coast. And this is a festival for horror fans. And they said they warned people. They were like, listen, this movie's a bit extreme. So understand coming in that there's going to be stuff in here that maybe is a bit extreme. And you'd think, like, you're at a horror festival. No one's going to walk out at a horror festival. But they said they had people walking out, like, at a horror film festival. It was too much for them.
Isn't it weird how certain things you watch, like, someone's getting tortured or whatever it is, you know, maybe they get their stomach cut open or something like that, and you're just like, oh, that's pretty cool effect. But then something like, say, a nail through the hand, and you're like, damn, that's got to hurt.
Oh, my God. And that's, you know, that, like, effect, though, when the nail goes through the hand.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know how they did it. Like, I'm watching it, and I watched this movie twice, and neither time could I figure out how they did that effect. Because they don't cut.
It doesn't look like it's cut.
They don't cut, right?
It doesn't look cut at all.
They must, though. Like, they must use, and I know the director in the commentary,
it could be
says,
like, a hidden cut.
He said, I think he explains it, and I might have missed it, but he says it's like, it's a magic trick. They just have to basically divert your attention to somewhere else, so that you don't actually know, so you can't tell. But I watched it twice, and I'm like, that looks real as fuck.
Yeah. No, it looked good.
And I think, going back to, like, people walking out, I think I know what the issue is, why people walk out. Maybe of this instead of, like, a Hostel or, a Saw movie. I think it's because this movie wants you to laugh at it. Like, in a really weird way. Because,
like, a really dark.
Like, you know, like, when he's, like, there's scenes where he, like, where he stops, you know, and he'll be like, don't say this, or this. You have a mother, you have a father, you have a dog, and he's, like, listing off all the things he's already heard before. So he's like, don't even try, don't even say it. You know, like, don't say, oh, I'm only 17. You know, like, I don't care. And, like, this weird, like, obvious type stuff where, and then when she says it, and he, like, flips out, I think there's, like, a discomfort there for people because they don't think that you're supposed to find any humor in it. And when they bring in the big fucking crate.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, there's a weird humor to that makes people more uncomfortable. I'm guessing that's what it is people don't want to laugh at this. So they start to feel weird. So they have to leave because they're like, I can't handle this. This needs to just be straight out horror for me. It needs to be Cannibal Holocaust. You know, like, it can't be funny.
Well, the tone of it, of like, one second he's like, yeah, okay, we can do it this way, calm down, you know, we'll figure it out. And then 5 seconds later, he's just like swearing and yelling, right. And he's just pushy. And then all of a sudden he comes back to, all right, because then Susan comes in. She's like, Ed, it's okay, we're going to do it. Like, she calms him down, and then he storms off, and then he'll come back, and he's fine. And then 2 seconds later, he's flipping out again. It's so psychotic.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. There's just a weird tone to it that I think unsettles people. And when they bring that crate in, I'm not going to say what's in the crate, but when they bring in the crate, like, I'm watching this movie, and I did not expect that to come into the movie, right? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'm like, holy shit, like, this is so, it's really funny in a way, but like, you know, like, cause she asks, like, why did you do this to this? And he's like, I don't know, cause
we thought it'd be funny.
We thought it'd be fun. You know, like, there's stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the way that what's in the crate is acting is
very good acting.
Yeah. And, but it's offsetting because they're not acting in the way that they should be. And he makes this joke. He's like, oh, I bet it's, oh, what's it called?
Something Munchins.
Yeah, that syndrome when you're,
when you start to, like, fall in love with your
captor. Yeah, with your captor, yeah. It's like, I can't think of what it's
something
called.
Munchins disease it's, or something. Something weird like that.
Anyway, like, stuff like that. I don't know, it's uncomfortably funny.
Yes, it is.
And it's later, too, like, when she kills one of the people, and she's not supposed to.
Yeah, and she's, oh my god. And, just like, so apologetic.
Yeah.
I messed up, Ed. I messed up. Right. I'm gonna make it right.
And she runs and grabs like her little cleaning kit. Like she just, like she goes into the kitchen after she does this and she grabs it. And then the argument they have, she's like, yeah, but there was, you know, like the character was, what was the word she used? The character was like shaking or something. And he's like, oh yeah, we're gonna put that on the fucking DVD cover.
Cause that's what people want to see. Yeah. Someone shaking.
Yeah, it was something like that, you know? And the argument they're having about it is like, there's this dead person on the floor. And they're arguing about, like, how this ruined his shot or his movie, you know?
Yeah, the whole movie's ruined now because of what she did.
Yeah.
And she's trying to convince him that, no, we can use it. He was shaking violently.
Right, and they're having, like, this marital fight.
Yeah, exactly
and
what
then,
it is.
You know what I mean? And then she does something, and basically she's like, we're going to talk about this later. Like, this isn't done. You know, like, we're a husband and a wife. We're going to talk about this. And if you watch, like, there's, like, deleted scenes or something on here. Like, it's called a gag reel.
Yep.
Did you watch that at all?
No, I didn't see any of the
stuff. So anyway, there's a gag reel on there, and it's scenes of him, like, in his other movies, like, filming his other kills. And there's, like, there's one scene where him and her are discussing what they're gonna order for dinner. And he's got the victim in the chair, right? The girl's in the chair. And, like, mid-torture. And they're like, oh, what are we going to have for dinner? Blah, blah, blah. And she's like, the girl in the chair is like, are you serious? Like, he's like, how about Chinese? Should we order Chinese for supper? And the wife, she's like, yeah, we'll get some Chinese food. And the girl in the chair is like, are you fucking serious? You're talking about Chinese food right now? You know, like, that is even more, none of that's in the movie, but that's like, he made a gag reel of stuff, like, cause he thought it was funny. You know, like outtakes and stuff of when like they fucked up and I don't know, like stuff like that. Let's see, what do I have? Let's see, masturbation scene. Oh, the blurring. Do you notice that all the nudity's blurred out? Did you happen to notice that?
No,
I noticed it, and I was curious why. And like in my head, I had a reason.
There's really no nudity in it,
but
though.
But it's blurred. Like, when they're in the room and she's like, take off your clothes.
Oh, yeah.
They blur it all out, so
yeah,
you don't
well, that,
see.
And it's, yeah, I actually noticed that, because it's from the security, like,
right.
like the top mm-hmm. angle, and it's all, and I'm like, well, if they found this, who blurred it?
And when he, is masturbating, it's blurred.
Yeah.
So when I was watching it, I was like, that's really weird, and then in my head, I'm like, I bet, and this is the reason that they give, like, I bet that they did that because the person who found it, right, wanted to make sure that they weren't exploiting the sexuality of the movie. So that they wanted to, you know what I mean? Like, if you were to find this footage, you would edit it and put it out there for the world to see. You would put it out there with the intent of being like, I don't want people to get off to this. So their reasoning was the person that edited this footage together blurred it because they didn't want people to watch it and be like, oh, wow, naked chicks, I'm gonna get off. They don't want him to be Ed. In the chair, you know what I mean? You know what I mean?
Like, right, that makes sense, yeah.
And in my head, I'm like, because, and they make a good point, like, in horror movies in general, nudity and violence are paired together, and a lot of times it's in, like, cheesy slasher movies and stuff. They're like, in a movie like this, we didn't want people to watch it and be like, alright, here's the money shot, as Ed would put it. You know, like, now we're gonna get the tits or whatever, and it actually made sense to me.
Yeah.
Every other movie you watch in this genre is gonna show it.
Oh, yeah.
No matter how much they want to be like, oh, we're trying to be serious and we don't want this to be exploitative or, you know, they're going to show it to you. And they didn't do it. I was like.
Yeah, that makes sense. I did notice that. Yeah. Cause you only get really two shots from the security, like from the top. And then I think it pans down real quick and it's blurred both times.
Yeah. And Ed's scene is blurred too. When he's in the chair, they blur his crotch out.
I wasn't really looking.
No, but there's like a giant blur spot. Yeah.
Yeah. make the blur spot like bigger.
Yeah. He's like, he's in editing. He's like, no, the blur spot's got to be bigger than that.
Yeah.
They're like, come on, dude.
Now, if you were like, say you were in that type of scene and they're like, hey, Adam, you got to masturbate. Do you like, cause you're not really masturbating. So do you just extend your hand an extra like 2 or 3 inches?
Yeah. And it's funny because Jim Roof, the guy that directed it and plays Ed, he said he's like, it was weird because we had all these other scenes and the people who were on set were just the people who needed to be on set. And he's like, for whatever reason, when it came the day to shoot my masturbation scene, all the guys showed up on set to watch that scene. And he's like, I have no idea why. He's like, but there were like guys in the kitchen and guys in like the other room, like watching as we filmed this scene of me masturbating. And it's really funny on the commentary because he's like, I don't understand why. You're like, why all the guys showed up to watch that scene. But I guess you would. You'd be like, all right, I'm just going to make this, you know. It's like up your chin, your hands. Like,
yeah. You got to use like both hands.
He's got like his whole body blurred out.
Yeah. Like, oh, you just see us from his neck up.
Oh man. But, do you have anything else you want to say? Cause similar with Dear Samurai, I don't want to spoil too much.
Yeah.
I think it's well made. I think the acting is surprisingly good, to be honest with you. I didn't expect the acting to be as good as it was, particularly from the younger cast, but that one girl is special. The girl who plays Crystal is really good. The girl that, you know, was hesitant to take part, she's really good.
Yeah. Crystal?
Yeah, the one that plays Crystal. Like, she, something about her performance was really, really good. And obviously, Jim Roof and I can't think of the wife's, what is the wife's character? Like, why?
Susan.
Susan. Those two are also, oh, really good in this. Really good.
And the only reason, because a lot of movies, after, you know, like you forget, like so many characters, you forget the names. But Susan says Ed's name so many times, and Ed says Susan so many times that you don't forget it.
That's true. I don't know why I forgot her name, but I remember Ed. But yeah, it's well acted. The effects are good.
Yeah, no.
That nail effect, man, is insane.
Yeah, I really like that. There's some really good effects in here.
There's
the street date on this is June 16th, 2015, so...
It is,
I would say,
hard.
Pick it up.
It is, like we said, there is some stuff in it that maybe, I think anybody who listens to this is probably fine. Like, are, you know, like we have listeners who watch Cannibal Holocaust and like Last House on the Left and stuff like that. So I would guess that our listeners are probably fine with this, but they had people walk out. So you never know what's going to set people off, you know, but it's really well made. It really is.
It really is.
I was actually surprised. I had no idea what to expect. I was not expecting it to be as humorous as it was, for sure. Yeah, I recommend it. Both of these movies so far, man, they're 2 for 2.
Yeah.
They're good.
Real good. All right, anything else, Anise?
No, that's it.